Kitona, I think I did not really look closely about the basket. And today's basket was donated by Donna, the honor of Bob's birthday yesterday. Right, thank you. I have this pressure every week that I need to come up with a really nice joke. I'm telling you, it's a good pressure. Don't worry about it. It's a good pressure. And I look up so many books and some other stuff and trying to find the appropriate joke so that we can all enjoy and listen and relate it to the joke with a sermon. So, but today's joke is not related to me because it's about mom. You know, I'm not a mom, but mom about a thankfulness. You know, remember the frog, the joke that I had before? I thought that was really funny because, you know, it's about worship service and it's about, you know, minister, you know, preaching to children's moment. You probably don't remember, but anyway, I thought that was really funny, but you didn't laugh at it, so. And this one, maybe I didn't think it's really funny, but you could laugh more, especially mothers. A group of mothers got together, made a list of things that they are really thankful for. All the list of things that they are really thankful for. Number one, dishwashers, automatic dishwashers. Listen, because they make it possible for us, mom, for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for their after-dinner snack. Number two, for husbands, surprise, who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals. For children, number three, for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They are such a joy, and you hate to see them go home to their own parents. For teenagers, because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. And finally, for smoke alarms, because they will let you know when the turkey is done. Talking about different perspective, I have another one. This is not a joke, but it's a kind of interesting to read, so I'm going to share with you. Two shoe salesmen were sent to Africa, where they found a number of people walking around without shoes. The one sent a telegram to his company back in America saying, "Bad news, nobody wears shoes here. I'm packing to go back." While the other sent another telegram to the company saying, "Great news, no one wears shoes here. Send 5,000 pairs of shoes immediately." So they're looking at the same situation, but totally come up with a different perspective. How do we do it? How do we understand as a Christian living in this world every day? How can we see ourselves in the eyes of God, not just our own perspective? You know, there are several reasons that God gave this Bible for us. then I believe that there are two important reasons that why God gave this Bible to us. The first and foremost important reason that I come up with is that through the Bible, we are finally able to understand our Creator. Through this Bible. And so you can see my newsletter for this month. I wrote about a Bible study, and I wrote this. How can we understand as a creatures understand, how can we as a creature understand our Creator? How can we understand ourselves through the eyes of our God? Through the Bible. Through the lens of the Bible, we are able to understand even just a little bit part of God area, our Creator area, Almighty God, that we cannot possibly comprehend. That's why God gave this Bible to us, in order so that we are able to a little bit understand more about our Creator. I think this is a really important purpose of the Bible. So I encourage all of you to read the Bible every day so that we are able to see God's plan toward you and me, our lives. The second important purpose of the Bible is through the Bible, we are able to see the direction of our life. There are so many stories in the Bible, God's people, how they lived, how they had a relationship with God, how they thought about the laws and regulations that God gave to them, how they react to the guidance of God. That's all recorded in the Bible. And as we read the Bible, we are able to indirectly gain experience as a Christian, as a children of God, as children of God, that how we live our lives. As we read the Bible, we have to find out the relationship that God's people had. Some understanding, some different understanding of laws and regulations. That's all recorded in the Bible. So that our forefathers of faith lived in the past, not just in the past, but still make a difference in our lives as we read the Bible. That's the second most important reason, purpose of the Bible. So we should read the Bible every day. That was a long introduction. But the reason I did this long introduction is that how can learn from the word that we read today? What if the scripture that we read today contains far more important than we did not understand in the past? You know, today's scripture, we read last part of Mark chapter 12, and then beginning part of chapter 13. We usually, when we read the Bible, we go with all these divided chapters. But, you know, division of chapters was not in the first writing of the Bible. Later, people divide the chapters so that people would be able to understand better, understanding of the Bible. But when we look at the last part of chapter 12 and the first part of chapter 13, there are two different stories. A widow putting not much worth of offering in the temple treasury. And then right after that, talk about destruction of magnificent building of the temple Jerusalem. You see is these two stories seems to be very different stories, but in fact, you know, these two stories are in a same context. If you look closely, I believe that we are able to understand a little bit more about God, a little bit more about God's perspective upon our agenda, our standard. At the end of chapter 12, Jesus saw a widow put in 2 lepton or 1 gorant into the treasury. But as soon as he saw this widow put in money, not worth of money in terms of world standard, Jesus praised the widow and giving her all that she had and praised her. That's all. That's exactly what God was looking for. He said this, verse 44, they all gave out all of their worth. They means other wealthy people. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. That's NIV version. A different version is this. They all put out of their abundance, but out of her poverty, this widow put in all that she had, all she had to live on. The story ends right there and move on to chapter 13. It's not like the story was closed very well, but she left. It seems like she left out, did not really close enough. And then moving on to the next chapter, that we see the great temple in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, this temple will be destroyed, torn down, leaving no stone on top of it. And disciples were shocked and asked Jesus, when will that happen? These two stories. While I'm talking about destruction of temple, keep your mind in this widow stories, unclosed yet widow stories in your mind. I don't know how exactly the structure of this great temple in Jerusalem. Because this structure was destroyed, and we don't know exactly what kind of structure there was. As we read today's scripture, based on the reaction from the disciples, it's a huge, amazing, magnificent, whatever the adjective follows. I don't have enough adjectives to describe it. Some archaeologists said that this temple building is tremendous, big, and huge and magnificent. Wonderful building that people, even just the first, when you see the building first, you cannot really comprehend the size of it. White marble stones pile up high, and so many fancy ways that you can see it. They were astonished at the magnificence of the building. That's why chapter 13, first verse described this. As Jesus was going out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, "Teacher, what are these stones?" Even this country boy could not understand what kind of stone that they use in order to build a structure. What are these buildings? Look at teacher. What are massive stones? What are magnificent buildings? Keep the widow's story in your mind. As Jesus and the disciples look at the building, it was unimaginable that this temple of Jerusalem will fall and no stone will be left on top of it. That's what Jesus said, and that's what will happen. Compared to this huge structure of the temple and poor widow put in 2 leptons in our treasury. Why do you think this temple, Jerusalem temple, fall? On the scripture, disciple asked Jesus this question. When Jesus said that this temple is not gonna stand, disciple asked him, when that will happen? We did not read the verse 4, but verse 4 said, tell us when will this thing be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to come to pass? When? Tell us when these things will happen. But the real question the disciple should have asked Jesus, was question of why? Why? Why this magnificent Jerusalem temple fall down? Why? In the Bible, we can find so many stories that God destroyed this magnificent building structures. Can you recall some of them? In Old Testament, there's a story about Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel could be really big structure, but it's destroyed. The story of indestructible walls of Jericho, where walls that seems never fall, but came down. What about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham's nephew Lot saw it, and it's beautiful. And now, in the Gospel of Mark today, this magnificent temple, Jerusalem, will be destroyed. Why question? Why? There's only one reason why this magnificent temple of Jerusalem was destroyed. We can learn from the story of Tower of Babel. We can learn from city of Jericho. We can learn from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Destruction comes from the self-righteousness. Destruction caused because people challenged God's authority. People putting themselves ahead and higher than God. That's why this destruction came to the cities and structures. Destruction of Temple of Jerusalem is very similar. And this is very serious matter for believers. Because, think about it, some other structures originally built, like Sodom and Gomorrah and walls of Jericho, all this structure, amazing structure, originally built for human purpose. But this Temple of Jerusalem was originally built for the purpose of faith, the symbol of faith, symbol of Israelites respecting God, symbol of the magnificent authority they celebrate, the reign of God. That's why this destruction of this temple of Jerusalem is very serious for believers. But the thing is, the original purpose of the temple of Jerusalem was already destroyed. The original purpose was changed, manipulated, abused. The original purpose was already gone. So the purpose was originally, original purpose was destroyed, and people pursued the power or authority. The religious leaders only care about their power, their authority. The original purpose was gone. So even the structure is standing, but the foundation is destroyed already. You know, you heard one of the parables of Jesus Christ we learned from the Sunday school. Building a house on a rock, building a house on the sand. Which one standing? Building house on the rock. That lesson was about foundational faith. If we lose the true foundational faith, the true purpose of faith is gone, then the total destruction of a house will come. That's the lesson from the parables of Jesus Christ. It's the same thing that today's message that Jesus was talking about destruction, because the foundational concept of the temple is already destroyed, manipulated, and changed. Again, remember the widow story in your back of your head? The story of this poor widow, and compared to this huge, magnificent structure building. Grand and splendid, huge temple of Jerusalem became the symbol of people's authority and power, the leader's power and authority, not about God. Yet, this widow put in small amount of money in a treasury, acknowledging the power and authority of God. My brothers and sisters in Christ, faith, our faith is not about building ourselves up. Our faith is rather destroy and lower ourselves in the presence of God. It's not about building our boundaries. It's not about building our power and authority. Faith is about lower and humble ourselves in the presence of God. That's about faith. As we lower ourselves in the presence of God, we are able to see God's hand and God's guidance pulling us to the direction that God wants us to go. As we lower ourselves and humble ourselves, we are be able to align ourselves to the Almighty God, who is strong, who created this world. That's why our faith should be not about building ourselves, not about gaining power, authority for ourselves, but about God. You know, we did today in a Lord's Prayer too. The prayer that Jesus Christ taught us, there's a key phrase that we should remember all the time. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is heaven. What do you feel when, as we pray this special prayer about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? How do you feel? What are you thinking about while you're doing this prayer? Thy kingdom come, what does that mean? As we pray about God's kingdom come upon us, that means, hear me, that means my kingdom is no more. My kingdom is no more as God's kingdom come upon us. Thy kingdom come means I no longer be the Lord of my kingdom, but our God, our Lord, is the true Lord and God of God's kingdom. As we pray, the kingdom of God come upon us. Think about it. There's no my kingdom. We need to keep demolishing our kingdom. Keep low ourselves. Keep humble ourselves in the presence of God, in the kingdom of God. As the kingdom of God comes to us, my kingdom is no longer exist. In other words, as the kingdom of God expand in my life, I no longer become the master of my life. My kingdom is diminished. This is the true meaning of Thy kingdom come. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible clearly telling us our own splendid, magnificent temple. Think about it. The magnificent, splendid temple that I have been building should be destroyed in order to Thy kingdom come. You know what? The higher you build your kingdom, the bigger and harder you build your kingdom, the more severe collapse of your kingdom will be. Some people comment about last week's sermon about shaking you out of shakers. Seems like you love that. You're the salt, and you try to stay in a shaker, comfortable and nice, then God will shake you out. It's the same thing. As you build your splendid, magnificent, your kingdom, your temple, then the destroy will come very hard. I really pray that as we expecting our God's kingdom come into our lives, let us lower, let us destroy our kingdom. Let our God and Lord be the Lord. Let them handle the situation we are facing. That's thy kingdom come. Next time, as us all pray the Lord's Prayer, think about how it will look like God's kingdom come into life. Today's sermon title is Thy Kingdom Come and Be? Really? Do you really want God's kingdom come into your life? That means I am destroying my kingdom. There's no my kingdom exist. That's what really you are expecting. Really. Thy kingdom come. This widow built God's kingdom with all her heart, give it to the Lord. That's what we should do. Let us pray. Our Creator, we come before you with our humble hearts, acknowledging that you are our Creator. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is heaven. Help us not to conform the pattern of this world. And help us not to build our own kingdom in the presence of you. The kingdom that only for our glory, our power, our authority. Help us, God, to live our lives with your presence in your kingdom, seeking your love and grace, seeking that and confess that our law is the Lord. God, we thank you that you challenge us this morning with a message. Help us to continue to pray that thy kingdom come into our lives. In the name of our Lord and Savior, amen. Would you please stand for closing hymn?